Well, you know, it's always dangerous when I invite you to raise your hand for something during a homily. But today we're going to do it a number of times. How many of you here today consider yourself wealthy? Wealthy. Okay. All right. Got a couple. Yeah. Good. For the rest of you, let me ask you a couple of questions. Well, it can be for all of us. How many of you have had breakfast this morning? Okay. How many of you are able to look forward to the possibility of having another meal today? Maybe you shouldn't, but you will. How many of you have a pair of shoes on this morning? Wow. Yeah. How many of you have more than one pair of shoes in your closet at home? Whoa. Okay. I looked out on the parking lot just before I came in, and I did not see many bicycles, and I didn't see many donkeys. So how many of you had something to get you to church besides your own 2 feet? I'm not counting bicycles and donkeys. Okay. And how many of you had a roof over your head last night and are going to probably have a roof over your head tonight? Okay. Now, what is all this silliness about? The silliness is about the fact that if you could answer those questions in the affirmative, you are part of the 5% of the wealthiest human beings that have ever been on our planet. Of all of human history, back to 6000 BC, something like that, all the way forward, through the Middle Ages, through the Dark Ages, through the plagues of Europe and all the other things of human history, you belong to the wealthiest 5% of human beings. Now, this morning, in the Old Testament lesson, on behalf of God, Amos says some very interesting words. Woe to the complacent. Woe to the complacent. Lying upon beds of ivory that you purchased at Gallery Furniture. Oh, that part wasn't in there. Lying on beds of ivory. The headboard and the footboard were made of ivory. Can you imagine? Stretched comfortably on their couches. Again, purchased at Gallery Furniture. Mac's a good Catholic, so I'll plug him a couple of times. Eat lambs taken from the flock. Now, if you're eking by as a shepherd, you don't eat the lambs. That's your next generation. You eat the old ones, not the lambs. And you eat the calves from the stalls. No, you don't. You eat the old dried up cows that are no longer good for anything else and certainly can't be milked. Improvising to the music of the harp. Oh, hello, choir. So good to see you this morning. Yeah, you too. Yeah. Improvising to the music of the harp. Like David, they devised their own accompaniment. On occasion that happens. Not very often, but sometimes the accompanist goes one way and the choir goes the other. I'm picking on you. I'm just picking on you. If I don't pick on you, I don't love you. Okay? All right. They drink wine from bowls. Bowls? How about just one small glass before dinner? It's supposed to be good for your heart and your health. Bowls? of wine and anoint themselves with the best oils. Now, apparently, I've not done that. Look at this face. Okay? All right. They are not made ill at the pit of their stomach at the collapse of the poor of Israel. The collapse of Joseph, the youngest ones. It doesn't break your heart, is what he's saying. Therefore, now they shall be the first to go into exile, and their wanton revelry. We were having some fun with that in the sacristy this morning, of those of you who I am suspicious of wanton revelry. Wanton revelry shall be done away with. What is Amos saying? Well, he's saying to the rich, do not forget the poor. Do not be blind to the poor. Your heart should break when you see the poor. That's the total sum of your homily for this morning. And at this time, I would like to invite Sister Francesca Kearns from the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word. Her residence is at Villa de Mattel on the southeast side of Houston, which is near, for those of you who are old-timers in Houston, near Forest Park Lawndale. And she's going to come to the AMBO and speak for just a few minutes on the mission and ministry of her order. Sister, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I want to thank Father Mario, Father Scott, and all of you here at the parish of St. Cyril for this opportunity to share with you about mission. I really like the goal you have for your parish, being intentional disciples. And I feel that if you're intentional disciples, you are indeed concerned about the poor and God's mission. Our congregation of Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word, we were born here with the diocese, continue to serve here in many other places. The month of October has been designated by Pope Francis as an extraordinary month of mission. So I will look at mission in general first and then share a little bit with you on our mission, which indeed is God's mission with the poor. When we talk about mission, many times we refer to it as the great commandment. Go and teach all people and baptize them. It is indeed a commandment, but for me, it's a love story. And it's a love story of God's goodness. When we look at the Trinity, God is good in himself, and he continues to pour himself out and reveal his goodness through the presence of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. And he sent us the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit continues to guide us, and that includes the call during the month of October to the extraordinary mission of God and how we live it out. The bishops from Asia remind us of three R's in living out mission. And the first is to receive. God always gives us a gift, but the importance is to be open and to receive. I like this morning when we brought forth the Word of God, all of you bowed. And it's a beautiful example of being conscious, being intentional to receive the Word of God. So we not only receive, but we reflect on that gift, which Father Scott invited us to do in the Gospel, our richness. And then the series of reflection is, how will I respond? And so our mission then intertwines with God's mission through our response. And that's been the history of the church and the history of this Diocese of Galveston, Houston. Our diocese has been enriched by many missionaries from the beginning, especially the French missionaries. And the second bishop of Galveston, Bishop Dupuis, was the founder of our congregation. And the bishop, which at that time his diocese was all the state of Texas, and he saw many needs. He saw the sick and the poor, as the gospel invites us to do. And he went back to France and said to a group of religious nurses, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, suffering in the sick and poor, seeks relief at your hands." And fortunately, the sisters responded. They came here about 150 years ago and started the congregation, the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word. And the beautiful thing about working with the mission of God is that we always receive more than we give. And so as a congregation, we're very grateful to be part of and to have received from the people in the Diocese of Galveston, Houston. And that collaboration with the people here freed us then to look at missions in Guatemala, in El Salvador, and in Kenya. And our sisters continue to do that work today. And we're very grateful both to be able to share and also the many blessings we receive. Now, there are three ways in which you can help us. And the good thing is you already indeed have helped us. The first is prayer. And sometimes in the intentions of the faithful, we say, pray for all missionaries. That prayer is very important. Once when I worked in El Salvador, I was taken in by the soldiers. And at that time, missionaries were considered subversives. And so the soldiers wanted to know what I did, but they didn't ask me. They asked a woman who worked with me. And the woman said, "Oh, she teaches women's health." And so the soldier considered that was not subversive, and I was released. But the strange thing about that incident was a soldier was not from that barracks. He wasn't usually there. And secondly, he was a relative of one of the women that was questioned. So I was released. And I became conscious today somebody was really praying for me. But as missionaries, usually we speak a different language. We're in a different culture. And we always need the ongoing help of the Holy Spirit. So that's one way in which you've been helping us. And please continue to do that. The second is a little bit more demanding and ongoing. And that is what I like to say, promoting vocations. John Paul II always said to us, the family is the first school of vocations. So today, church in Galveston, Houston is growing, and we give thanks for that. But where will the priests and sisters, dedicated lay people come from to serve that church? And we know it will be from our families. And that's the wisdom of God and the way that we continue to be involved in God's mission. Not too long ago, I was in El Salvador, and one of our sisters said to me, "You know, I think I'm a sister because of my grandmother." She related that her parents frequently didn't go to church, but her grandmother would go. And when she went, she liked the things she experienced in church. She felt that presence of God, and she felt called to teach, to serve as a catechist. And as she was in that ministry, she met our sisters and thought about the vocation of being a sister. Today, she's a missionary sister serving in Guatemala. Where did it all begin? The devout example of her grandmother. So to know that when we talk about mission, what I'm always awed about is not what I do, but what God trusts us with, how God involves us in the mission. And the third part is that we need help. We'll have a second collection today. We extend God's care to the poor, to the needy. And as I was listening to Psalm 146, we talk about God feeding the poor. And sometimes I say, well, I didn't know you were going to depend on us, because it is our hands, it is our feet that reaches out to the poor and feeds the poor. I was listening to the gospel of the poor man lying on the street. Many times our sisters take in abandoned elderly, and we care for them. We have two small homes to care for abandoned elderly in Guatemala. The country is particularly poor. There is not a social security system, and the only help the poor get is many times from missionaries, from people of goodwill. So when you make your contribution to the second collection today, remember you're helping God to feed the hungry, to care for the poor and abandoned. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, sister.